This is Eternal Truth, a program which presents precepts from God's holy word, the Bible. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. Though this is Dr. John, you can learn more about my ministry by going to the website www.eleutheros.com. That's eleutheros.com. There you can sign up for the monthly newsletter, check out moderately priced books, and consider donating to Christian causes all over the world. And now we come to the message for today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we'll read verses 19 through 23. The Apostle Paul says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." What a contrast we see between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh are what are the kind of things that man just naturally does in his unsaved state. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we receive a new temperament, the ability to get along with people and to honor God that we surely couldn't have done before we were saved. People try to do these things in their own strength, and perhaps for a while it seems to work. But in the end, we know that it just doesn't work at all. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And today we want to consider this subject of long-suffering. Long-suffering. Have you ever had to work with a boss who got angry with you, or other people who you work with? And when they do, I mean, it's like the whole world crashed. They're so angry. They just fly off the handle. There's no restraint to how they feel. And they let everybody know, and there's no uncertain terms how they feel. And you never know from one minute to the next what's going to cause them to be so angry or become so passionate about certain things they really don't seem to be worthy of having such passion for. They just lack the self-control, and they lack the ability to reason and to think things through. And, well, they're obviously not having the Holy Spirit produce fruit in their lives. Now, we see that sometimes with governmental leaders. We see that with terrorists today. We see that in the world today. The works of the flesh are manifest, and they're ungodly, and they're angry, and they're producing sin right all over the place. But when we see the fruit of the Spirit, we understand that one of the things he's producing is long-suffering in the lives of a believer. Now, as we study this subject of the fruit of the Spirit, it's important that we understand there are various words that we need to consider in the Greek New Testament. The word here in Galatians chapter 5 is makrothumia. Makros means long, and thumia means passion. In other words, it takes a lot or a long time to express this thumos or this thumia in our lives. One good man has defined it this way. One who has makrothumia has the power to avenge himself, yet refrains from the exercise of this power or this authority. We certainly see this in the life of Jesus in so many different ways. He had to deal with the ignorance of his disciples quite a bit. He had to deal with ridiculous questions and accusations from the Pharisees and Sadducees quite a bit. He had to deal with disgusting diseases among the sick people of his day, leprosy and people with deformities and demon-possessed people, all kinds of things he had to deal with. And he never became angry at them. He loved them. He cared for them. He also had to deal with the unbelief of so many of the people. He came into his own, and his own received him not. And so we see great grace, great love, and great self-control, and lack of anger in the vast majority of cases in the ministry of Jesus Christ while he was here on this earth. There were a few times, as we know, he overturned the tables in the temple where money changers were abusing the people. There were times when he really let the Pharisees and Sadducees have it. He did not mince words. We certainly see that in Matthew 23. But by and large, Jesus maintained a great deal of self-control in his passions. That doesn't mean he never expressed his passions, but it took a lot to get him to that point. And that's the idea of the makrothumia. It doesn't mean we never express anger. There is such a thing as righteous indignation. But it takes a lot. It takes a lot of time or a lot of wrongdoing or whatever to reach that point. Now, there are other words that we need to consider as we try to understand this word makrothumia. There's another noun in the Greek New Testament. It's hupomene, and this is endurance. And a good definition of it would be it has no choice but to bear and has grace to endure. As believers in Jesus Christ, we do have choices. And by God's grace and by the fruit of the Spirit, it takes a lot to get us to the point of finally reaching out and really criticizing somebody or some evil thing in this world. But hupomene has no choice. It just simply endures no matter what. And then there's another word in the Greek, it's anakē. This has the idea of a suspension of violent outbursts. It will never express itself violently. Again, that's not quite makrothumia. It takes a lot to reach a really strong outburst, but it can on occasion do that. Now, there's a difference between thumos, which is part of the word makrothumia, and orgē. Orgē is a violent, very demonstrative, obvious expression of anger or emotion. Orgē is a settled habit in our mind. In other words, there are some people in this world who every time they hear a certain subject discussed or a certain personality mentioned, they just automatically have a certain reaction and nothing's going to change that. They may not become violent in their reaction, but there's this feeling that's there, and it isn't going away. The thumos is something that seemingly comes out of nowhere, but for one reason or another, it just expresses itself in a very violent way. The fruit of the Spirit takes a long time or a lot of things in order for it to express itself in such a strong way. So that's our introduction to this message, and now we come to some biblical admonitions in the scripture about the subject. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul tells us that we're to walk worthy of the vocation by which we were called with long suffering. With long suffering. We need to understand, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a calling to fulfill. Different people have different gifts, different backgrounds, and I believe different callings. But every one of us has been given a gift. Every one of us is given an opportunity. And every one of us surely should be serving the Lord in some way. And we're to walk worthy of that calling, that vocation that He has given to us. When people look at a believer, they should see someone who is spirit-controlled. They should see somebody who shows love and joy and peace. And in this instance, as we're discussing today, long-suffering. They shouldn't see somebody who becomes angry at things unnecessarily. We are an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador expresses important things and should not become angry unnecessarily. Doesn't mean he changes his position on things, but he's learned to speak the truth in love. And so that's the way we should be in our Christian walk as we interact with other people. They should see someone who walks worthy of the vocation with long suffering. I'll say this, if they see somebody who's getting angry quite often for no apparent reason, they're not going to respect us. They'll probably say, well, they call themselves a Christian and they're not being very Christ-like because they're becoming so angry all the time or for no reason. And so the Apostle Paul admonishes believers to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called with long suffering. Ephesians 4, 1 through 2. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul tells us that as the elect, we should be forbearing and forgiving one another as Christ forgave us. Oh my. We need to understand that before we were saved, we were enemies of God. We were children of Satan. In our flesh dwelt no good thing. And everything that we did, I believe, was actually sin because everything we did failed to glorify God. We were a mess. Even our righteousness was as filthy rags. But God the Father, when Jesus died on the cross, took the sin of the whole world, every bit of it, every bit of it, and placed it on Jesus' sinless body. And He paid for it all when He died and shed His blood on that cross. Oh my. And so when we consider how gracious God was in doing that and what incredible love Jesus exhibited in paying that awful price, the pain, the agony, the disgusting sin that He bore, and the fact that God the Father had to turn His back on Him for 3 hours while He was dying on the cross. Surely, if we've accepted what Jesus did for us, surely we can forgive other people when they sin against us. Sometimes that's not easy. And we need to ask God to give us the wisdom and the character to do that. But you know what? God is doing that in the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Sometimes we don't exercise or recognize that fruit or let it have its perfect work. We'll be talking about that in a few minutes here. But nevertheless, this is not something that we do totally ourselves, but it does take a certain amount of character to exercise this gift and this fruit in our lives. So as we see our vocation, our calling, we need to recognize we're dealing with other people and exercise long suffering in our lives. And then because Christ forgave us so much, we should understand that he is our example as well as our Savior. And as our example, that should inspire us to be long suffering for his honor and for the benefit of other people. Then we have in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is giving instructions to Timothy. Timothy was, we might say, the president of the first Bible college in church history. Paul left Timothy behind in the city of Ephesus to train pastors and evangelists and teachers. And he's giving advice to Timothy, and he's telling him to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, in the ministry, people who are evangelists and pastors and teachers and deacons and elders and people in positions of some kind of authority, they're going to face a lot of things. There will be people who will ask almost unanswerable questions from time to time. There will be people who come up with disgusting sin from time to time. Some of these people will try to excuse their ridiculous questions or their disgusting sin or their annoying ways, whatever it might be. And the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In my ministry, I've trained quite a number of pastors and people for the Lord's work. And in my private prayers for these men, one of the first things I pray for is that God will make them tough enough to endure all the hardships that I know they're going to face. But I do know that even those who aren't pastors and evangelists and deacons and elders and teachers, every one of us is going to face difficulties in our lives from time to time. And so we have this admonition to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to say that I'm pretty well convinced there are a lot of Christians who don't understand that as a believer in Jesus Christ, we are actually in a war. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against spiritual powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. We are in a spiritual battle, and we need to endure hardness. Sometimes we're going to have to face difficult circumstances. And we need to ask God to give us the grace to endure that. And a big part of this is understanding that the fruit of the Spirit is working in our lives. We're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called with long suffering. We need to understand that we need to forgive one another as Christ forgave us. Yes, sometimes people commit disgusting sins, and we hear this and we have to deal with it. And it's not easy, but God gives us what we need in order to be forgiving and to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is a command that God gave to Timothy, and I believe to Christian leaders, that should extend even to believers in Jesus Christ, whether they're in those positions or not. Next, we come to James chapter 1 and verse 4. Here we're told that we're to let patience have her perfect work. This is another verse that tells us that God can produce in us what we need to avoid becoming overly angry and doing things at times that wouldn't be beneficial to other people, or that might hurt our testimony, or that might keep us from honoring God the way that we ought to. Let patience have her perfect work. Instead of reacting immediately to everything that we hear or see or that we're tempted by, we need to sometimes just be quiet, to be still, and know that He is God, and know that He cares, to know that He'll provide an answer, to know that we have the example of Jesus Christ, to know that we have commands in the Scripture, to know that the fruit of the Spirit is working in our lives, sometimes is evident in our lives, and sometimes it's not. And this is why we're commanded to let patience have her perfect work. This means that we need to just sit still, not try to solve everything in our own strength. Realize that God will provide a way, and I believe the main way is to let patience have her perfect work and let the fruit of the Spirit be operational in our lives. We get sometimes annoyed and we want to react immediately. Let patience have her perfect work. Sometimes we're experiencing pain in our lives and we think, boy, I need to do something. And I'm not saying that we should ignore the things that God tells us to do, but sometimes the best thing to do is let patience have her perfect work. It's not natural to do that, but it's supernatural. And I believe God honors that, and He'll provide a way. The next verse that we want to consider is 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. Apostle Peter, in every chapter in this book, talks about some of the trials and temptations and frustrations and things that we face in this life. Peter knew what it was to suffer. He'd been in prison. He'd been falsely accused. He had to deal with all kinds of things in his ministry. And writing to the believers that he had ministered to in Bithynia, Cappadocia, we learn about this in the beginning of the book of 1 Peter. These were small town believers that he had pastored for a number of years. I believe he's in the city of Babylon, or he's in the country of Babylon, as he writes to the believers back there in Northwest Asia Minor. But he's telling them in 1 Peter 1:6 that the heaviness and temptations are for a season. Sometimes we think because Satan is active, because we're fighting the world, because we're fighting our own flesh, and so we're facing all these things, the world, the flesh, and the devil, we think there'll never be an end to all my problems. And I understand sometimes it seems that way, but it's not that way. Peter understands that it's for a season. It's for a season. God will not tempt us above what we're able. He's not going to allow us to endure difficult times, or even ups and downs in our lives are not going to last forever. I like to think of what the early church went through in the book of Acts and in the Gospels. The real believers had seen Jesus do wonderful things for 3.5 years, preach tremendous sermons, teach wonderful truths, heal people by the thousands, show great love that the world had never seen before. And yet, in the last week, we know that he was falsely accused. He was betrayed by Judas. His own disciples left him alone to pray in the garden. He was finally arrested and put on trial, the most ridiculous trial I've ever heard of or read about. He was finally beaten. A crown of thorns was put on his head. He was led to the cross, where he was ridiculed and crucified and died on that cross. The people had seen and heard wonderful things, and now their Savior had shed his blood and actually died on the cross. They were so up, and now they're so down. But 3 days later, they were up again because he arose. Thank God for the resurrection. I believe it's the greatest event in all of history. And the people rejoiced. And so he spent 40 days with them, showing himself alive. And it was a wonderful time. And then he went to heaven and told them that he would send the Holy Spirit. But they had to wait. And they waited for 50 days. Waiting, waiting, waiting. And then Peter preached a tremendous sermon at Pentecost. 3,000 people were saved. A few days later, he preached again, and 5,000 people were saved. It was a wonderful time in the church. And yet, it wasn't too long after that that they, Peter and John, were put in prison. And so there was the ups and the downs and the waiting, and then the downs. And then we're told in Acts chapter 4, great grace was upon them all. The heaviness and the difficulties and the trials and all the things that they faced didn't last forever because God knew what the people needed, and he provided it. And he'll do that. And we don't have to become angry and upset and frustrated at every single thing that comes into our lives. God knows what we need. He did that for the early church. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And then there's Hebrews 10:36. We're told, ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. How can we know that it's worth it to exercise this fruit of the Spirit, to confess our sin and to endure all these difficulties and become angry only after a lot of difficulty and frustration and temptation and sometimes pain or false accusation? Because there's going to be a great blessing at the end. There will be rewards at the end of the process, and especially when we get to heaven. I don't know what you're facing today, but I do know that God is providing what we need, whether it's deliverance from temptation, whether it's deliverance from pain, and he will provide what we need, and we need to endure it with patience and long suffering for the glory of God.
I welcome your comments and questions. You can contact me by going to the website www.eleutherosbooks.com. Please understand the most important issue we all face is where we will spend eternity. The Bible makes it clear that we are all sinners, that sin causes death in an eternal place called hell, and that we cannot save ourselves. What an awful situation. The good news, however, is that Jesus paid the price so that when we repent of our sin, believe that he will save those who come to him, and simply ask him to save, he will surely do so. Please ask him to save you if you've not ever done so. Mm.